Happy Sunday and welcome to another amazing edition of Sunday Conversations with the Rileys, establishing effective communication through spiritual growth. My name is Gerald Riley, and unfortunately, my beautiful wife, my co-host, Katasha Riley, she couldn't be with us today because she's at the Overflow Salon and Barbershop holding it down for Team Riley. Hey, listen, we are broadcasting all the way from Columbus, Georgia, all the way to Eufaula, Alabama, and surrounding areas. And I'm so excited today because the name of our show today is Feeding the Valley. In the studio live with us today is Mr. Frank Shepherd from Feeding the Valley. Say hello, Mr. Frank.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for having me, Gerald.
Hey, thank you for coming. Now, Mr. Frank, let's go ahead and get down to business. Okay. What is Feeding the Valley?
Sure. Feeding the Valley is a food bank. There are 8 regional food banks in the state of Georgia. We all have a sizable coverage area. So we basically are a source of food for people and organizations that they need to get food to help people out.
Now, you said you have 8 regional offices in the state of Georgia?
Well, there are 8 regional food banks in the state. So, yes, so we're one of those 8. So we cover 18 counties going north to Troup County and LaGrange, and we go south down to Torrey County and Albany.
Man, that is awesome. Now, do they have like Feeding the Valleys in Florida and Alabama and all that?
No, we are part of the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks, 200 food banks nationwide. And so, yes, there's a Feeding America food bank serving every county in the United States.
Man, that's awesome, Mr. Frank. Now, Mr. Frank, what is the purpose of Feeding the Valley?
Sure. It's to, part of our mission statement says to gather and distribute food to feed the hungry. And that's pretty much as simple as it is. We go out to gather food and then get it in the hands of individuals or families in need or organizations that are going to help feed hungry families.
Outstanding. Now, what is that mission statement again?
To gather and distribute food to feed the hungry, incorporating the values of dedication, urgency, inclusiveness, and good stewardship.
Now, what type world would we be if everybody had that philosophy? I think that's amazing, Mr. Frank, and I appreciate you for that. Now, why was the organization started?
Yes, basically a group of, it started as the Interfaith Action Food Bank. That was the first name of Feeding the Valley.
So it's faith-based?
Yes, it was basically 7 different religious denominations. Leaders in those groups got together and said, you know, we need a centralized source of food for people in need in our community. You know, I'm doing a small food closet here. You're doing a small food closet there. We need one central place where we can gather as much food and help out. And so they got together and they formed what was the Interfaith Action Food Bank that is now Feeding the Valley. And from those humble beginnings, we now distribute 15 million pounds of food a year in our 18 county coverage area.
Wow. Now, how much food is distributed here in Columbus, Georgia?
Out of Columbus, about 8 million pounds a year that come out of the Columbus warehouse every year.
Now, is that including dry goods, canned? What type of food do you distribute?
Sure. It is boxed and canned goods, so we do commodities boxes for families in need. We also do hot prepared meals. We feed about 2,000 kids a day a hot afternoon meal Monday through Friday. We feed about 300 seniors a meal as well, Monday through Friday. So kind of a combination of many things.
Well, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, just in case you're joining us for Sunday Conversation with the Rileys, we're in the studio with Mr. Frank Shepherd of Feeding the Valley, and we're talking about this great organization in this city. Now, can people just come to Feeding the Valley to receive food, or is there a central location, or how does that work?
It's a process. Actually, if you're in need of food, you're best to go to our website, feedingthevalley.org. Right on the front is a box that says in need of food. Put your zip code right here, and you punch it in, and they'll give you a list of partner agencies. That's groups that that we supply food to that are closest to you, their hours of operation, their address, their phone number, so you can contact them and go to get food from them. So, yeah, we don't distribute directly to the public from our warehouse. We distribute through a network of partner agencies, and they come and get the food to us, and then folks in need go to them and get fed.
Man, that's awesome. Now, what would a typical box look like for a family?
About 60 pounds of food, frozen meats, frozen lean meats, fresh produce, boxed and canned goods, as well as dairy items. So it's designed to be a once-a-month supplement to folks' other resources to help them make ends meet.
Oh, wow. So it's all four of the food groups.
Yes.
So it's a healthy thing. It's not just candy bars and chips.
No. We certainly have some items because we know kids are in the household.
Right.
So certainly we have some snacks in that box. But it's designed to be a healthy supplemental source of food.
Man, that is amazing. Now, how long has Feeding the Valley been in existence?
41 years. We were incorporated in 1983. So we've been here since that time.
Oh, wow. 41 years?
41 years in existence, yes.
Now, how long have you been working there, Mr. Frank?
I've been there 10 years now.
10 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm just looking at you, Mr. Frank. You don't look like you stressed one day. So I can imagine the job is a very fulfilling job.
It is. I came from the corporate world. I had 24 years in finance and management for a local employer. And I can tell you, being in the nonprofit world, it was a whole different world. And, you know, even though the days can sometimes be long and hard, going home knowing you're feeding hungry kids is a pretty good feeling. So it's very, very rewarding work.
I can imagine it. Now, Mr. Frank, how do you balance, because your job is a very important job in the community. So how do you balance your personal life versus working at the food bank? What's your woosah?
Sure.
Mr. Frank.
Yeah, it's, you know, it is sometimes difficult, you know, because there is such a huge need in our community. 1 in 5 people are chronically hungry in our coverage area here in West Central and Southwest Georgia. So, you know, a lot of work to do. And even though we're distributing 15 million pounds of food, we really need to be distributing about 22 or 23 million. So
really,
we have a long way to go. We've made a lot of progress, but we have a long way to go. So, but, you know, we have a great team. We have a great community that really is a very caring and collaborative community. And that helps to get things done. So I can spend time with my family, run around the backyard with the dogs, and go to the golf course.
Oh, okay. Mr. Frank is a golfer. Okay, then. All right. Now, Mr. Frank, I've been to the warehouse, and it's a huge warehouse. Now, are you guys moving?
No. We just added on to that warehouse.
It's
our headquarters here in Midland. It was originally 31,000 square feet, and we just built another 24,000 square feet on the back. So we have enough space to store about 5 or 6 million pounds of food at any given time. We have air-conditioned volunteer rooms for those that want to come and volunteer and help us out. And so we have a lot of space and very huge coolers and freezers that can hold 1 million pounds of fresh, like I said, frozen meats and fresh produce. So we're trying to get healthy food in and get it out in the community.
Man, that is outstanding. Now, Mr. Frank, who donates all this food?
It comes from a number of sources. About 30% is federal commodities. About 20% is state commodities from the Georgia Nutrition Assistance Program. And 50% of it is from retailers, manufacturers, donors, and food drives. People do food drives on a regular basis for us, and that amounts to about 1 million pounds of food a year.
Now, can you explain the difference between the state commodities and the federal commodities?
Sure. The federal commodities come, many people have heard from the USDA, the United States Department of Agriculture. So they have nutrition programs that send commodities down through the food bank network. And then the state also has an assistance, a nutrition assistance program that's designed for families that have kids under age 18 in the household. And those commodities come through, and then we can help families that are in need. So, like I said, some federal commodities that feed anybody that's in the low to moderate income range, and then state commodities that help families with kids under age 18 in the house.
That's awesome. So you have help from the state level, from the federal level, and from the local level.
That's correct, yes.
Man, that is so awesome, man. Mm-hmm. Once again, just in case you're joining us for Sunday Conversation with the Rileys, I'm in the studio with Mr. Frank Shepherd of Feeding the Valley. Now, Mr. Frank, how can organizations donate food to Feeding the Valley?
Absolutely. You know, and we say it takes a village. It really does. We can use food from all sources. They just have to get in contact with us. If they want to do a food drive, we'll get them donation bins so they can do that. Or if they're, a farmer or, a mom and pop grocery store or a farmer's market, they just get in touch with us. And when they know they have food that can be donated, you know, we have refrigerated trucks. We'll be there and pick it up from them.
Now, is that like a tax write-off? Like with...
It is. Folks should also know there is a Good Samaritan law, too. And that means if you're donating food in good faith, once you've donated it, there's no legal liability. People worry that, oh, if I donate food and someone gets sick, they're going to come back and sue me. No, a Good Samaritan law says if you've donated food in good faith, you have no legal liability. So, you know, if you have food items, they can be past the expiration date because that particular date on the can that says sell by, you know, June of 2025, mm-hmm. That's a very conservative date. That food is good for 2 years, up to 6 years after that date.
Really?
Yeah, and it won't sell in the store, and that's why the stores often donate that food to us. So don't think that the food item is necessarily bad just because it's past its sell-by date. We have experts that go through and inspect every can that comes in and make sure that if it's still within its range, we can use it. If not, certainly we'll discard it.
Man, that is so awesome, Mr. Frank. Now, is there anything coming up with Feed the Valley maybe the public should know?
Sure. You know, after the first of the year, we have events come up. The beginning of March, we have our Empty Bowl event at the Northside Recreation Center on Sunday, the first Sunday of the month, where folks can come and get, you know, soups and good food and everything in a pottery bowl. It's a great event. We also have a 5K. It's called Outrun Hunger that will be on the first Saturday of April. I believe April the 5th, I believe that date is. That's a 5K that runs right from the food bank along the Fall Line Trace and comes back to the food bank. And if you're a car enthusiast, on April 26th, we have Driven to End Hunger Car Show. Big car show with all sorts of antique and slick cars right there on our property on Flat Rock Road.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I stay around the corner. I might have to drive to 68 over there.
There it is. Come along.
I know, right? Now, could you say those dates again for the public?
Sure. It's so the Empty Bowl is the first, I don't have my calendar in front of me, I'm afraid, but it's the first Sunday in March. And then on April 5th is the 5K, April 26th is the car show.
Outstanding. Mm-hmm. Now, we asked how can organizations donate food. Now, how can organizations receive the food?
Sure. So, as I said, about half the food we distribute is through a network of partner agencies, which are churches and other nonprofits. If they're a 501c3 organization, and they have to be, they can come to us and apply to be a partner agency. And they just get signed up. It's a one-time, it's a $50 annual fee to become a partner. After that, you receive about half the food free of charge. About the other half is for a small shared maintenance fee of less than 19 cents a pound, which is less than one-tenth the cost of wholesale. So, and so that's all you have to do is, and you can get that application off of our website, feedingthevalley.org, at any time.
Now, how long is that process?
Very quick. You know, we've been through a period because we've been through a food shortage since the end of the pandemic that we weren't accepting new agencies, but we're starting to open that portal again. So if you go and you fill out the application and get it in, usually within a month or two, because we do have a backlog because of that that period when we were shut down from partner agency, new partner agency acceptance. Probably within a month to 2 months, I'd say probably 6 weeks, we can get you up and running and get you being a partner at Feeding the Valley.
Okay. You know what? I remember meeting you a couple of years ago when the Edge was first starting to come to the Feeding the Valley. And you gave us a tour and like a little briefing or something like that. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you emphasized was that once you become, I guess, a partner with Feeding the Valley as far as the food, you cannot sell that food or use it for your own personal use.
That's correct. Yes. Yeah. All food that comes from us has to be given free of charge to individuals. And you can't require anything. You can't require them to make a donation. You can't require them to sit through a religious service. You can't anything. All the food that comes from us is intended to be free of charge and with no obligation to the end user. So, yes, we're looking for agencies that want to come get food and can distribute it directly to folks in need.
Outstanding. Now, I noticed you said churches are 501c3. Mm-hmm. Now, most churches are 501c3.
Yes.
So can you just be a church or do you have to be a 501c3?
Now, we changed in our contract 2 years ago that you have to be a 501c3. So, yeah, and as you said, many churches, in fact, most churches are. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, we do require the 501c3 status.
Outstanding. Now, did we cover what's the process of picking up the food? Once I get approved, mm-hmm. What do I need? Do I just come, you know, with a box, a cart, a book bag?
It's all automated. We have all our inventory online. So you can sit at your church or your community center, your nonprofit, and you go on our system and you place your order. And you say, these are the items I want. And then at the end, it's going to tell you, you know, if there's a charge for some of that food, you know, what it would be that you would owe. You pick a date and a time that you want to come to our warehouse and pick it up, and we have it on the dock waiting for you. So very quick, you pull up the back of your church van or your truck or whatever. We load it on your vehicle, and you're out the door. So
now you said you guys load it or we load it?
Well, we request, if it's a sizable order, that the agency have a volunteer or two with them. You know, if it's a smaller size order, you know, we're always going to have one or two warehouse staff there. that can help out. But yeah, since the agencies come one after another, they come in 15-minute increments.
Yeah.
You know, we ask that if it's a very sizable order, you know, to have one or two folks with you to help out.
Outstanding. You know, I think the Bible talks about it's more blessed to give than to receive. Mm-hmm. And I've been a part of the Edge Church for 6 years. I think we've been a part of Feeding the Valley for three. And personally, it does something to you when you are able to bless somebody with this food, and the look mm-hmm. on their face is thank you enough. And so my question to you, Mr. Frank, is what is the best part of your job?
You know, it's seeing families that are in need, you know, I just see them light up, you know, folks that are really having a tough time and just don't have any resources, but need food to get through the day, to get through the week, the month, whatever the case may be. And to see that look on their faces, you know, is pretty incredible. And in our children's feeding sites, with some of which are in public housing facilities in the community, you know, we have kids come back and show us their high school diplomas, show us their college degree, show us their military basic training graduation, and you know that you really helped the kid to have the nutrition necessary to achieve something like that. Really makes you realize that's what the mission is about.
Now, Mr. Frank, this is not on the list, but mm-hmm. do you think your background in corporate kind of help you to better understand this job as far as nonprofit side?
I do, because, you know, even though it's a nonprofit, it's still a business. And so I had experience in not only finance and HR and management, I had experience in running a warehouse, I had experience in environmental health and safety or facilities. And really, as president and CEO of the organization, the job really combines all those skills. And I use all of them on a regular basis. You combine that with, you know, a lot of compassion because folks are going through a rough patch, and you realize all that's really needed to successfully run. What's the equivalent of a $35 million a year operation when you count the value of the donated food? Excuse me.
Wow, that's something else. Once again, just in case you're joining us for Sunday Conversation with the Rileys, we're in the studio with Mr. Frank Shepherd of Feeding the Valley. Now, Mr. Frank, what is the backpack program?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we know kids are hungry on the weekends, and so we want to do our best to get some nutrition in their hands to tide them over. Some kids leave school on Friday and may not have anything to eat or not much to eat over the weekend until they get back to school on Monday. So the backpack program, we basically have volunteers pack a large Ziploc bag of about 10 to 12 kid-friendly but nutritious items. Items are easier for them to access, pop-tops, nothing they have to process or cook. But things are like a couple of entrees, a couple of snacks, a couple of drinks, a couple of breakfast items that they can have to go home with over the weekend. We send about 1,800 of the most chronically hungry kids home every Friday during the school year with that backpack. It's all very secure. The backpack just they slip into their regular school backpack, so they can take it home. So there's no stigma. Nobody else in school knows.
That's what I like about it, because kids can be cruel.
Yes, it's confidential, so no one in school knows the kids are getting them. The recipients just know to go to a certain room at their school on Friday, pick it up, slip that into their backpack so it's concealed, and take it home and have that food to eat. So it avoids bullying and avoids the stigma.
I love that. Now, did you come up with that idea, Mr. Frank?
I didn't myself, but it's been around for some time. We actually now have school pantries in about 31 schools that dedicate one room in their school to having food and other personal supplies available for kids in need. And so anytime a child is there, if they miss the school breakfast because they had a doctor's appointment, they can get a breakfast bar. Or if they miss, you know, lunch for the same reason, they can get something to eat. If they need paper towels or toilet paper or anything like that, they can take those items from this pantry that we supply and take them home.
So it's not just food.
So not just food, because we have relationships with suppliers that give us paper products. I mean, families that are struggling, you know, we know that, you know, paper products are expensive, hygiene items are expensive. And so if we can help supply those things, then it's helping out even more. And the whole idea of the program is get the kids to school, make sure that they have every opportunity to come into school, to get what they need, and to go home and don't have an excuse for not coming to school to learn and achieve and excel.
Now, I know this might be a crazy question, Mr. Frank, but what about dog food?
We do that as well. So we have partners that give food. Now the Board of Health doesn't want us storing dog food in the same warehouse as human food. So we move it out very quickly, but we have a number of animal organizations in the community that can use it. So as soon as it comes in, we give them a call and they tell us what they can use and they come and pick up an order of it and get it out there. We know, especially with seniors, if we're providing them a meal, we also want to provide them a baggie of food for their pet, because otherwise we know what's going to happen. They're going to give some of their food meant for them to the animal, which is not good for the animal. It's not good for them to miss their nutrition. So we'll send home, you know, basically a baggie, a little baggie full of pet food for their animal, so that the dog gets food, the dog or cat gets fed, and so does the human.
Man, that's so awesome, Mr. Frank. It's so awesome. How can someone volunteer for working at Feeding the Valley?
Absolutely. And we need volunteers all the time. Volunteers donated 62,000 hours to us last year. That's like having another 30 full-time employees. You go to our website, and there's a tab on the upper right that says how to get involved. And a tab below that says volunteer. You just fill out a one-time quick profile, and then it shows you all the opportunities where you can volunteer, whether it's at our warehouse, and you can do that. It's packing those commodities boxes for families in need, and those buddy packs, those backpacks. Or you can volunteer at one of our distribution sites, like at the Civic Center. The third Saturday of every month, we feed 1500 families, and you can come out and volunteer and help load the groceries into folks' families.
Now, can trucks. Seniors, or what's the age requirement?
Any age during the work day or during the weekday, we say ages 13 and up can be unaccompanied. We have usually once a month, we have a volunteering on a Saturday. It's more family friendly, so you don't have forklift traffic and things in the warehouse, so you can bring younger kids and kind of have a whole family day out.
Man, that's so awesome. And you said seniors can volunteer because you have something
Absolutely.
For seniors to do.
Yes, yes. Yeah,
so everything is not lifting and all that.
No, it's all very ergonomic. It's all very safe. So, yes, we have volunteers. And our new addition now has a climate-controlled volunteer room. So it's comfortable. It's heated in the winter. It's cooled in the summer.
Hey, that's needed in Georgia, brother.
It is. And it's our volunteers much happier since we opened that. So.
Hey, I like that. Now, what are the hours that the Valley is open, Feeding the Valley is open?
Sure. Typically Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. We have just a thin staff that's in on Fridays, usually doing pickups. So, but when it comes to volunteering, Monday through Thursday, 8 to 4.
Outstanding. So those big semis come over there?
Yes. Yeah, we have a fleet of 33 vehicles total, which include 53-foot refrigerated semis and 26-foot box trucks and cargo vans. So, yeah, it's basically a big logistics operation is what it comes down to. You know, with three warehouses, we have one in Albany, we have one in LaGrange, and we have the headquarters here. And we cover all 6,000 square miles of our coverage area every day.
Man, so how many counties does that cover?
It's 18 counties total. So 17 counties in Georgia, going up to Troop and Meriwether, and going south to Doherty and Calhoun, and we have Russell County in Alabama as well.
Outstanding. Well, Mr. Frank, I thank you so very much for your time. Now, is there anything that you would like to promote or say in closing?
Sure. You know, I just that we need the community support. So please, you know, folks can make donations online at feedingthevalley.org. You can do a food drive and donate food, or you can donate your time and come volunteer. We need the community's help to continue to feed folks over 15 million pounds of food a year and growing. So we appreciate the support of the community and appreciate this opportunity to talk about it.
Well, thank you again, Mr. Frank. Have a blessed day. This has been Gerald Riley from Sunday Conversation with the Rileys. Peace.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.